I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, it's Chris Sparrow here from the Naked Gaming Podcast, which I co-present with my fiance Lee. We've got another special in-short episode for you from the Naked Scientists. Last time round, actually, we had a great episode with Veronica Taylor, who is the voice of Ash Ketchum from the Pokemon series. Well, this time round, because of the recent huge re-emergence of The Witcher 3 as a game that people are playing, we've been catching up with the voice of The Witcher, Geralt himself. His name is Doug Cockle. He's a brilliant voice actor. He does a very good, which I can't do anywhere near as well as him. You can hear more about that in the interview. But the reason we're doing it is because when The Witcher 3 first ever launched 5 years ago, 92,000 players were playing simultaneously on Steam at launch. Recently, because of a cut in price and launches on Switch and, of course, the new Netflix series The Witcher, 94,000 people were playing only the other day. So there's a huge resurgence. But what does Doug Cockle, the voice of The Witcher, make of it all?
That's great. It's wonderful. I mean, the Netflix TV series was really well done, in my opinion. I absolutely loved it. And the fact that it's leading people back to Witcher 3, the game, is just fantastic because it's a great game. So, if people are discovering it, via the Netflix series, that can only be a good thing.
What did you make of the series itself? Because I absolutely loved it, and I agree with you, it was very well done. And it took me a couple of episodes to realise that it wasn't necessarily all in chronological order. Did you find that as well?
Yeah, it took me a while to get into that. that was the one criticism I had of it, actually. I thought everything was done so well, but I just thought that It might have helped the audience a little bit more at the beginning to understand the time jumps.
Yeah.
Once I clocked it, I got it because I've read the books.
Of course, yeah.
So I understood where we were jumping to and from, and apparently, if you look closely, there are clues at the end or the beginning of each time jump, telling us where we're going and where we've arrived.
Yes.
But I haven't gone back to look for those yet. I've only seen each episode once so far.
I suppose it's good that it bears repeated listening and watching. And I guess you'll find that, people will be playing. I went back and played The Witcher again because of all this hype. I completed it and played it all through. And I thought, oh, this series is great. I really want to play it. So I got it on the Switch, which I'd never had before. And that's opened it up to a whole new audience as well. Because technologically now, on a console you can carry around, it's kind of crazy.
It's insane. I think it's great. As soon as I heard that it was coming out on Switch, I was just like, yes, because it does. It opens up a whole different audience because there are people who are just Nintendo. All they want to know. That's all they know. So all those people who may not have been able to play The Witcher or who never thought about it, now they can.
Yeah. It's so cool. And actually, I wanted to ask you, because we hinted at, the jumping around timelines for the TV show, but I'm imagining that when you did the lines for The Witcher, that you very much didn't do it in chronological order from start to finish of the game, because it never works like that, does it?
No, it doesn't, but it probably more so than in filming.
Okay.
Though I can't say that for certainty. It's a while ago now since I recorded Witcher 3. And I think that at least to a certain extent, there is a linear quality to recording the games because the writers, they are writing to a certain extent in a linear fashion.
Yeah.
Because there is a story to the game. Films are written chronologically, but then not filmed chronologically.
I see what you mean.
But with Witcher 3, CD Projekt, it's such a big thing to try to accomplish, so this isn't a criticism of them at all, but scripts were coming to side where we were recording it, sometimes the morning of my recording in the afternoon.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that didn't happen terribly often, but often enough that we all, you know, felt the pressure of it, including the writers at CD Projekt.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think we were recording as linearly as we could. I don't remember there being a situation where I was recording something for Endgame, and we hadn't recorded anything before that. So.
Well, with my new playthrough this time, I'm trying to make sure that I select all the secondary dialogue options to give you your full outing on this playthrough. Because there's so much dialogue, and you don't have to hear it all. If you choose, you know, the top option, which is the one that progresses the story, you can miss out on some of the funniest lines in gaming history kind of thing, and the way they're delivered. And there's this really early on, I think most people will know there's a line about a unicorn that I'm sure you've had repeated back to you loads of times. But there's so much dialogue. Do you even know how many thousands of lines it was?
No, I could make a guess at it, but I'd be wrong. certainly in the tens of thousands. Well, tens of thousands?
Probably, likely. Or at least sentences, tens of thousands.
In individual lines, I'd say there were probably, you know, thousands of them. Words. I did see a word count at one point, and it was massive. I don't remember what it was, though.
No, sure. I can hear. It's interesting because my favorite voice actors, and I've listened to interviews with you before, my favorite voice actors have very different voices from their speaking voice. In fact, on our last episode, we spoke to the voice of Ash Ketchum, which is Veronica Taylor, and she was, you know, a pregnant lady playing a 10-year-old boy. So it was very kind of different skill for her. Where did the voice develop for you? Because they must have had some ideas about what they liked. Or was it an audition process? Or did you just say, this is how I feel Geralt is?
Well, it kind of evolved a little bit over time. I think if you go back to early Witcher 1 stuff, and then listen to Blood and Wine Geralt, they're probably a little bit different.
Yeah,
I would imagine they are, partly because I quit smoking between Witcher 1 and Witcher 2.
Ah.
The whole quality of my voice shifted a tiny bit. It was an audition process. So I had to audition for Witcher 1. And when I went to the audition, and I understand I'm really shortening, you know,
yeah, of course,
things that happened, but basically we got, you know, I was in the room for 15 or 20 minutes and Boris from CD Projekt was there. He was auditioning. And that's how I remember it anyways, that Boris was there. And he suggested, think about, because we were trying different things and he described the character to me and that he was emotionless and that, you know, he had to have a fairly flat delivery. And so after playing with him for a while, he said, well, you know, just Doug, think about Clint Eastwood in the Dirty Harry films. Go for something like that, you know, go ahead, punk, make my day kind of thing. And that's kind of where the inspiration that pushed us in the direction that ended up being Geralt's voice.
I hear you. As you get lower, there's definitely hints of Geralt that start to come in, I notice.
as I go, this is the thing, is that in Witcher 1, when we were recording that, it was a really difficult voice for me to achieve. My voice just didn't go down there. But now Geralt is just part of my voice, so it's not something I have to work terribly hard to achieve.
Wow.
I joke that I've damaged my voice so much that now my voice is like that. But it's actually more like with an athlete, you know, because the voice is a muscle.
Yeah, for sure.
And so just like with an athlete, you know, they train to break muscle down, to build it up again, stronger and more flexible.
Yes, of course.
So it's the same thing with the voice. Basically, over the years, I trained my voice to go to Geralt's voice without having to push.
Yeah, of course. When you need it to be accessible like that, if you're doing, I mean, I'm sure I'm hoping there's going to be many more future projects. How can there not be with the success of Witcher 3 and the continued success of it? But it's just useful to have it sort of on tap kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of what I'm known for now. And
yeah,
frequently when I'm playing a main character in a video game, it's that kind of voice that they want.
Yeah.
So I actually find now it's the struggle I have is to not do Geralt for other characters who are very similar to Geralt.
Yes, I know what you mean. Because it's like you don't need to fall back into that. And also you want to do the variety apart from anything else.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I have been able to play some different characters. I've played some characters with Southern accents, Southern American accents.
Mm.
I played these two guys, Mel and Bob, in a video game called Randall's Monday. This is a few years back now, but
yes.
I can't remember exactly who was who, but one of them was a sort of, he was a pawn shop owner, so I gave him this sort of accent, you know, sort of a New York, Brooklyn kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get to play with that kind of thing every now and then. It's really, really fun.
That's really cool. I guess it's such a fun job. And I know you do all sorts of different things and acting and voice acting and teaching and everything as well. But it's, I guess the best thing about it is that kind of variety.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's one of the things I've always loved about acting as a career. I think I unconsciously or subconsciously, when I was deciding what I wanted to study at university, I think I really didn't want to do something that had me doing the same thing every day.
Yeah.
I grew up in a military family. My dad was Marine Corps, so we moved a lot. So I was constantly changing houses, changing schools, changing friends. Not only did I love acting, but I think unconsciously the lifestyle appealed to me. You know, go do a day of filming here, a week of recording there, 3 months on a theater gig here.
Yeah.
I didn't really think about it, but I think that was in my mind when I chose acting as a career.
It's such one of the best, I suppose, perks of it. But one of the worst things about it, obviously, is when there's not, you know, you get a month where there's not a lot and you think,
oh, yeah.
You sort of start thinking, come on, when's the phone going to ring? I totally get the situation. But obviously nowadays, there must be so much stuff. And it's nice to have a kind of flagship character that people are coming back to. And I guess it can only be a good thing that so many people now go back to playing The Witcher, because they'll think, who's that guy who does that voice that's so cool, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, it's I don't know. There's no way to quantify, really.
Yeah.
What advantage playing Geralt has given me, because I still have had, you know, 6 month periods of time where I've had very, very little work.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I'll get a flurry of stuff all happening at once. You know, for example, just recently, September, October, November, December time, I did three relatively small video game jobs. I did a convention in Florida, and that was it.
Wow. So chill time, yeah.
Yeah, chill time. It's I don't know.
Mm.
It's really hard to say, you know, whether people hear my performance in The Witcher and then go, wow, we got to get him in, or whether they don't have a clue, actually. Sometimes I think they don't know.
Yeah. Well, they need to know, so I'm telling them now. This man is...
Yeah.
I want to ask you about one of the most vocally difficult things to get, because I don't know how you do this. And there's particularly with Geralt, and I want to ask you about, you know, your feelings on Henry Cavill's attempt at the voice as well. But there's a lot of just him going, that's like one of the classic things he does as a character. Just he goes, like that.
Yeah.
But you've got to get that in his voice. How on earth can you hum and kind of just grunt, but in another voice? Like, I don't get that at all. How on earth do you do that?
Well, it's just like doing it, you know, yourself, you know. You just make it the character's hum. it's that thing in acting, you know, you identify the qualities that your character has, and then they just have to behave with those qualities.
Yeah.
In the situation that they're in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a good one. And can I ask you about your feelings on Henry Cavill's voice in The Witcher? Because it's so inspired by your performance, I personally feel. I mean, they obviously sort of thought, what do people know from the video game world as The Witcher. Because his delivery is it's very similar to the one that you do, but obviously, you know, people do their own take and stuff. But how do you feel about that?
It's great. I love it. And Henry actually, well, Henry told me himself, standing in front of me, that he used my my performance as inspiration for his own choices as far as the voice was concerned.
Oh, cool.
And he's gone on record as well. I think it was a Forbes interview or something like that, where he does say, you know, Doug Cockle did the voice in the game and he did a fantastic job. And so I'm paraphrasing what he said, I used that as a starting place to find my own voice for Geralt. But what I've always felt myself, me, not Henry, is that Geralt's the kind of character who he can't have any other voice than that kind of gruff,
yes,
growly voice. That's just what he needs.
Yeah.
I love what they've done. I don't know if it was an accident that they decided to keep running with or if they planned this. But, you know, the hums and the, you know, that particular word that starts with an F that has become a wonderful in-joke in the TV series. I just think he does a marvelous job. He looks great. He sounds great. He moves great. I mean, his fight scenes are fantastic. I know that that's, you know, the choreography is done by other people, but he performs them really, really well. I think it's great. And I love that he did use my vocal performance as, well, I don't want to say inspiration, but he used it to inform his own choices in terms of how he approached Geralt and Geralt's voice. That's fantastic. That's a real, it's just a nice feeling.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear you interviewing him and him interviewing you in character.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
I'd love to sit down over coffee or something and have this actually videoed and both of us just have a conversation in our Geralt voices.
I'm going to suggest it to somebody and see if we can make that happen. That would be amazing. I really want to know what's kind of next for you on the horizon, because, you know, we're on a new year now. This is our January episode. And I know you never quite know what's coming through the door and stuff. And I suppose even if there was a Witcher 4, you probably wouldn't be able to tell us. But what kind of things are you looking out for this year then? Because I know you're teaching, we mentioned slightly as well. I know you teach quite a lot. So what you got going on?
Well, I've got a lot of teaching actually at the moment. So that will dictate what I can do and can't do, to a certain extent. I mean, if something big came along, I'd have to have a conversation with my university line manager.
For
I've got a recording job coming up. I don't know how much I can say about it. It's not a big one, but it's for a nice big game that I've voiced before. What I can say is that a couple years ago I voiced I did the voice of a god, Chernobog, in Smite, the video game.
So
I did that a couple years ago, and I just might be
picking the voice up again.
Well, no, different.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So really cool. I've got a bit of something going on there.
Nice.
Towards the end of the month. And at the moment, it's just see what comes down the pipeline.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, and I'll let you get back to busily teaching away there. And we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye out and an ear out for everything you do.
Cool. Thanks, Chris.
The brilliant Doug Cockle, who is such an exceptional voice actor anyway. Thank you so much for sparing us the time. You can download the full episodes of the Naked Gaming podcast. Just search for that on iTunes or Acast, Stitcher or Spotify, and we will find you there. Do leave us a review as well and subscribe if you can. And we'll be back in the coming weeks with another edition of an In Short special with a voice actor from a video game. So look out for it.